Hey, harlots.
I'm Jen.
I'm Liz.
And we're Harmless Harlots.
Relationship geeks.
Ethical sluts.
We love exploring how to have more authentic relationships.
Whether it's with yourself, someone else, multiple others, or even the earth.
We are enthusiasts, not experts. So if you'd like to explore along with us, we give you our enthusiastic consent to come along.
Our first in-person recording of the Harmless Harlots. Woo!
Welcome to a potentially disastrous audio experiment.
Well, so we won't have to deal with lags between our different audio tracks.
Yes, I can edit lags. I cannot edit us talking over each other as we often do and making lots of noises as we often do. So we'll see how this works.
It will be interesting. Especially since we're going to live together, so.
Yeah, that's fair. I think a lot of the podcasts I listen to, like, the hosts don't live together, which is honestly nice because you can record in separate places and have pure audio. But yeah, I mean, it's also weird since we've been together this past weekend. I don't know if you have anything that's been on your mind that you have been wanting to discuss but haven't.
I mean, I've spent the last, like, 72 hours with you, so I feel like I've discussed most of the things.
But yeah, I mean, I guess unless you have anything else on your list, we can go through the very short list that I have. The first point is we talked last time about don't ask, don't tell, and my conclusion was I don't know enough about it. And I'm not going to say I did thorough research, but I just Googled don't ask, don't tell Polly, and all the results were like, why does this never work? I will never date somebody who does this. Like, this is a terrible idea. And so I'm trying to think, and I think my first exposure to it was last fall for a creative writing class. I interviewed a poly woman, and she had kind of a don't ask, don't tell with her husband. But I think in that case, it truly was, like, he had super low sex drive and was super introverted. Mm-hmm. So, like, he just did not care. Like, he just literally didn't care. And, like, she had a super high sex drive. So I think that is one instance I know of don't ask, don't tell. So again,
I think that happened in, oh gosh, Shameless, the TV show. There was a season of that show where one of the male main characters in that show starts sleeping with a female professor at his college. And the husband walks in on them one time, and he's, like, freaking out, and she's like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, he knows that I have sex with other men, and it's, like, part of the arrangement, and yeah.
Did you watch Shameless? I know Mom watched Shameless.
I watched the first, like, six or so seasons, and then I stopped. It was an interesting show. It was pretty good. I think there are a couple of poly subplots, sort of, in that show.
So, yeah, I think my tentative conclusion is that I think it can work in edge cases, but in general, you probably at least want to investigate the reasons why people want to do don't ask, don't tell.
That's the thing is, like, I feel like the reasons behind don't ask, don't tell tend to not be healthy. They can be healthy, probably, but I think more often than not, they probably are not coming from healthy places. But I don't know. Like, I agree. I think it could work in certain cases.
So yeah, I guess that's what I'll say on that. And then second point that I have of my 3-point list, I think it was yesterday, I just had this thought and I was like, you know, all this abortion stuff going on, all this like gun, you know, pro-gun stuff, which by the way, I saw a TikTok and it's like only 3 countries in the world have the right to bear arms. And it's like, yeah, that maybe is an indicator.
Yeah.
And I forget, and I still haven't Googled, but if it's, like, either the Constitution or just, maybe it's the Declaration of Independence, but, like, the whole thing where it says, like, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I feel like America does not have at the moment, because, like, right to life, it's, like, I'm not guaranteed housing. I'm not guaranteed food. I'm not guaranteed shelter. Like, this is unfettered neoliberal capitalist America. Like, mm-hmm. I do not have the right to life. Therefore, mm-hmm. I do not have the right to, I am, you know, imprisoned by that. I'm restricted by that. So I do not have the right to liberty. And I do not have the right to the pursuit of happiness because I'm not even allowed to fucking live. So for all the people who are like, oh, Constitution. Well, yeah, that. So, yeah.
I got in a Facebook comment argument with Girls from High School, as I do a lot, because it's too easy, because they're dumb. But one of them was saying how they didn't want to have, you know, the government shouldn't get involved in like mask mandates and vaccine distribution and stuff, because her argument was the government was founded to protect our liberties, not our health. Like, health is a separate thing. And I was like, you can't separate health from liberty. Like, if the government is here to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you have to do health along with that. Because, like, COVID is killing people, infringes upon right to life. If you're in the hospital on a ventilator, you can't very well pursue happiness. So, like, you really can't separate protecting one's health from protecting their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So, like, your argument's invalid.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I am really kind of considering, like, I know we're moving to a place, and I, you know, I'm excited for that. But at the same time, I do kind of just want to fuck off to Norway. Like, I'm not going to lie, that's pretty attractive at the moment.
If my job would let me work from another country, I would definitely consider it. But,
well, it sounds like I talked to a woman today who I'm working for, and she was like, I'd known her before I worked for her, and she was like, yeah, I never really saw you, like, I saw you working in, like, the corporate world, like, a little bit, but, like, I see you much more as, like, a freelance contractor, and I was like, I do like not having to live by stupid people's rules, and, like, you know, kind of setting my own hours, and feeling free, so, like, I could definitely see myself just fucking off to Norway someday.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll happen. But at the same time, I'm like, but if all the good people leave America, then like that's just going to be bad. But at the same time, it's like, what am I going to do to help America? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Staying and helping is hard, and leaving does feel kind of like a cop-out, but like, it's also so much easier. And, like, I don't know how much you can really do.
And, like, imagine just being, like, instead of, you know, like, 7 hours from, like, going from Boston to New York in 5 hours, imagine being in, like, Spain in 5 hours, like.
Yeah, European flights are so cheap. Like, when we went and visited you in Europe when you were studying abroad and we just, like, country hopped for a while, like, all of our plane tickets were, like, under $50. And, like, when we couldn't find a super cheap plane ticket, we would just take a train, and that was also really cheap. And
so, in summary,
America
doing bad job. Do better.
Do better.
And my third point is, Lizzie, you sent me a TikTok a while ago that was this woman explaining her relationship contract. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. I do remember that. Yep. When she and her partner first started dating, they wrote a relationship contract on paper together. And she said, now we, like, never argue, because whenever we get, like, start to argue, we just refer back to the contract, and it works out really well, and we're all happy and healthy and perfect. I don't know if I believe it's as good as she said it was, but
yeah, did. I, like, oh, okay, so I tried to write one up, and it was, like, I still think it was, you know, a decent exercise in, like, what do I want, what do I value, but at the same time, it pretty much was just, like, honesty, and, like, that's really all it is. Like, you tell me what you want, I'll tell you what I want. If it's working out, great. If not, no harm, no foul. And because, like, they mentioned things like, oh, chores, and, like, the girl on the TikTok was like, oh, I want a romantic gesture every 2 weeks. And as I've said a lot and a lot on this show, people are really bad at predicting the future, even for themselves. And so maybe it'll work for people who are, like, more experienced, but I think definitely for me, it was like, a lot of stuff sounds good in theory, but, like, I think just doesn't actually come out to play. So, like, I'm all for, like, very explicitly stating your needs and wants and expectations, but I don't know. I don't know if the relationship contract, and maybe it's better if you, like, do it in collaboration. Like, I did mine kind of on my own, but maybe if you're, like, sitting with your partner and you were both doing it at the same time, it's better.
I also think having a partner who's willing to sit down with you and do that sort of thing is a really good signal that the relationship will work anyway, because if you're both willing to sit down and construct out, here's what we want, here's what we're doing, here's the expectations, here's the boundaries, that's a good sign that you're both invested enough and emotionally mature enough to maintain a healthy relationship. So just being able to do that is probably a good signal that you're already in a good spot.
Yeah. And I think you also sent me a TikTok, or maybe I just saw it. My partner sent me a TikTok, and I think I was just tired, but like I clicked on it and I started watching it, and like my brain instantly forgot. And I was like, my partner would like this. And so I sent it back to them, and they were like, why did you send that back to me? I was like, listen, I just straight up forgot. I watched it. And I was like, hey, you would like this. And you know what? You did.
And you did, sent it to me.
I sent it back because I knew you liked it. Here for you. I saw this other TikTok where like this person was like, I mentioned to my partner how, you know, like I had an anxious style and they had an avoidant style. And so that caused me a lot of stress, and was talking about ways we could work on it. Did you send this to me?
No, but it sounds very familiar too.
Yeah. And so, and then the partner was like, yeah,
oh,
no.
She was like, let's work on this. And he was like, nope, if you want to change, you can, but I'm good. And she was like, oh, so you're not willing to work on us at all? And he was like, nope. And she was like, okay, well then I'm out.
And she did.
Which is what I should have done many times.
Yeah, because I think it really is, like, okay, so here's something I've been struggling with. So when you brought up the thing about deserving,
yeah,
it has been a struggle of, like, things that you, like, need/want in a relationship. I think it comes back to, like, when you're talking about, like, valid, like, what is valid? And it's hard because, like, some things are probably based in trauma and insecurities, but also, like, you can go to therapy for a long time and not, you know, cure some of those. So it's like, I don't know. Cause I think a lot of times when like even just like when people post on the poly pages, they're all like, people are asking like, is this valid? Like, is this an incompatibility, or like, do I have any right to like ask them to change this? And so I think that's kind of the crux of the matter, because it's like, oh, my partner wants to do this. And like, maybe it is based in trauma or insecurity. And so like, maybe, you know, you are in the right to ask for them to change. But then like, how do you determine that? And like, even if you are, like, then you have to convince your partner that you are, and they have to be willing to change. So it feels like, even if you are in the right, if it's an incompatibility, then like maybe that should just be a sign to break up. At the same time, some people can change. I don't know.
Yeah, that's hard. I think even outside of romantic relationships, I think in friendships too, that's one of the hardest things as an adult, is to determine when is it worth investing time in working on a relationship, and when is it better to just be like, this isn't going to work, let's peace out.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to know when. I definitely err on the side far too often of, let's fix it, we can work on things, and I like never dip out, and I should dip out more. But on the flip side, I do know people who just dip out all the time, and just as soon as it is even remotely hard, they're like, yeah, bye. You don't want to do that. So you got to find some spot in the middle where you're not flaking on everybody, but you're also not keeping yourself in relationships that are not healthy for you. And it's hard to know when to invest more time and when to call it quits.
Yeah.
I think you just kind of need to consistently be checking in with yourself and see, you know, at what point is this not sparking you joy anymore? Because change is hard, but at the end of the day, if you're changing, the other person is changing, and it's still bringing you joy to work on the relationship, then I think it's okay to keep doing it. But if you get to a point where like it's more work than it's worth and it's not bringing you joy.
I think I read something on a poly page that, or maybe it was a TikTok, that was like NRE, new relationship energy, which is like the excitement you get from like meeting someone new and connecting mm-hmm. with them. Like they said that can last for up to like 2 years.
Yeah.
And so it's hard because like when you talk about like sparking joy, mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know, like life is hard and people are complicated. And so it's like, maybe this isn't sparking joy right now. But as you said, like maybe we should tough it out and because then at that point it's like, well, damn, am I just gonna meet a lot of people and after 2 years be like, well, you were a waste of time. That sucks.
Well, I don't think there are many people who are truly wastes of time. Like, I think you learn from every relationship.
I suppose.
Like, even the ones that can't be salvaged and you never, like, you remember River, who yeah. I am still devastated over. But it was not a waste of time. I mean, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about relationships with people. I learned a lot about how I handle heartbreak, which is not well. Like, I learned a lot. It wasn't a waste. And the time I spent with him was wonderful. Like, I'm very glad we were friends when we were. I'm sad it ended the way that it did, but I do cherish the memories and times we spent together and the trips we took and the adventures we had. It wasn't a waste, even though he's not a part of my life anymore at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. Life is hard.
Life is hard. Life is pain, Highness.
But
anyone who tells you otherwise is sad. Name that movie.
Princess Bride?
Yeah. Good sister.
But it wouldn't have to be if we just had never invented agriculture.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm going to listen. Until somebody convinces me otherwise, I'm just convinced that we peaked pre-agriculture and everything has just been downhill since then. And you will struggle to convince me otherwise.
That's fair.
I did have an idea, if we wanted to, that we could play a game / have a new segment called Polly Pages.
Polly Pages.
Where I just scroll through my Facebook and read Polly Pages, because I'm subscribed to a lot of them, and see what conversation that sparks.
That's funny.
Okay, here we go. Hi, me again. My partner of 2 years and I have barely had sex over the last year, and we have started, and what started as a low sex drive issue has snowballed into this avalanche of avoidance, which caused more anxiety to build so that it just becomes harder and harder to talk about and easier to want to avoid, and me pushing, well, it just makes it worse, but then we don't talk about it if I don't. Does he mean pushing to, like, talk about it, or, like, pushing to have sex?
Good question. Pushing to have sex bad, pushing to talk about good. Oh, this is a long
I know
post.
These people like to really. But she feels unsafe and uncomfortable talking to me.
Well, that's a bad sign.
Okay, notes for responses. I'm not trying to force anyone to be sexually intimate with me. It is about sex, but it is also about other intimacy as well. I am a kind and patient, respectful partner. This feels like an avoidance and anxiety issue with me being the pursuer.
Yeah.
I need her to talk to me about this. I can't stick around without an explanation. It's too painful. I suppose that's fair. Mm-hmm. Communication.
So I have had several relationships in which my partner was avoidance and I am, what's the word?
Anxious?
Not, is it anxious? I thought it was,
There's anxious and avoidant.
Oh, okay. I thought something started with a P.
Pursuer?
No. Preoccupied attachment, yeah.
Sure.
So I have the preoccupied attachment type. So the difference between those two, for the dear listeners who have not been reading Polysecure with us, so when people are under stress, they have different responses to that stress, and people with avoidant attachment styles, when they are stressed, prefer to avoid people and just kind of burrow into themselves, and people with the preoccupied, or I guess anxious attachment style, which is what I have, when they are stressed, prefer to talk to other people. People with the anxious attachment style prefer to be near and talk to other people when they are under stress. So the problem is when you have two people with opposite attachment styles, as I have had in several of my relationships, you get this pursuer-avoider dynamic where when there is stress in the relationship, the avoidant person wants to avoid and the preoccupied attachment person wants to talk to them. And it doesn't work because one person doesn't want to talk and one person really needs to feel secure. So in my relationships where I have had this issue, none of them have worked in the long run. But that is not to say they can't. Mine have not. But I think they could, in theory they could. We had to come up with compromises for what to do in these scenarios. And a lot of the time what happened was I would end up having to give my partner some space. Even when I really wanted to talk to them to get clarity, I would just give them some time to kind of process on their own. And I would just live in anxiety for a week or so. And then when they were finally in a better space and ready to talk, then we could have a conversation. So it was a compromise in the sense that, like, we did talk eventually, whereas I think they would have wanted to just never talk about it. But I did have to give them a little bit of time before they were ready to do so. But I don't know if that's good advice, because none of those relationships actually worked out in the long run, so.
Yeah, when there's a conflict, I also very much want to, like, discuss it and, like, not let it, but I understand that some people need time to process, and it's hard to be like, but I need to talk about it right now, or else I will just feel awful and terrible for the entire time until you talk to me. So yeah, definitely maybe setting up some systems for that would be a good idea of, like, this is the maximum time somebody gets, and, like, these are some things that I can do to feel okay during this time. And, like, if I know that there's a deadline, then I can feel okay. Maybe, I doubt it. But yeah, no, it's hard.
Life's hard.
Life's hard. That's the moral of this lesson. Lesson? Episode. Okay, the next, there were a lot of very long posts, which I just was not willing to read. Y'all need brevity, honestly, man.
TLDR. Like, put TLDR. A TLDR at the beginning. I always do that because I love a good rant, and I will type a novel based on my life problems, but I always put a TLDR because I know I'm too long and too wordy and nobody wants to read that shit.
Okay, so this next one, which was posted to a Poly group, but is original content from Lavita Loca Sawyers, who I think I follow on Instagram too.
Lavita Loca.
Yes. So if you're interested in Poly stuff, she does love Poly stuff, you can go follow her. But this says, today's Poly reminder, compersion and jealousy or envy can be felt simultaneously. They don't always cancel each other out, and the presence of one doesn't invalidate the presence of the other.
What? Explain.
She has a little anecdote that she went to a ropes class and saw her partner and her metamour together. There was a moment when they were sitting together listening to the facilitator talk about next week's class, and I felt a pang of envy because I'm now living across the country from him. I don't get to have a weekly class, and yet all the compersion and beauty I felt from being in the class with them was still very much present alongside my envy. So I feel like you can be envious of, like, I wish I had that. That's not necessarily coming from an insecure place, because, like, if somebody has, like, a mango and I don't have a mango, it's like, man, I wish I had a mango. I think there's, like, two different kinds of envy, where it's like, I forget the words, but it's like benign and, like, malignant, whereas benign is like, I wish I had a mango too, and, like, malignant is like,
Thank you for having a mango.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't want them to have a mango, so we can both be miserable. So I think I can get that of, like, you know.
I suppose.
Like, they get to spend time with that cool person. I wish I did, too.
But I'm happy they get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Fair, I suppose.
Valid.
All right.
Har.
I wasn't on board at first, but I'm convinced.
Harlot approved. And see. Oh, okay. This one's short. Vent. Anyone else, specifically demisexual people, persexual people, run into the issue of your own sexuality beaver damming you? That's a verb I have not heard before. I am demi and pan, woo, with a preference for anyone but cis men.
Hey!
Relatable. I have 3 partners, but have not had any form of partnered sexual activity in 6 months. I know that remedying that would make a difference on my mental/emotional health. Logic says I should find a friends with FWB, I suppose, to get it out of my system. Then stuff like this happens, and I realize I'm hopeless. And then there's a screenshot. Love that beautiful smile of yours. I'll be a little direct here. I'm not looking for anything serious. Just want to go out and grab a couple of drinks and see where it can lead us. Hit me up if this resonates. Sorry for being super direct. Response. Thank you. I appreciate directness, even, especially, when it doesn't resonate. I don't know if you're familiar with the term demisexual. The TLDR is, it's going to take more time than a couple drinks for me to be all interested in any sexual activity. However, I am definitely in need of a break from my routine, and drinks would be lovely, provided there's no pressure for anything to get physical.
I think that was a perfectly fine response.
Yeah.
It was beaver damming? Is that she's, like, cock-blocking herself?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a smart response.
No, yeah. I'm just trying to think, because as we've discussed, I like the term that I created myself, which is persexual, which is that, like, demisexuality is, like, about the depth of connection, But mine is more just like, I'm pretty much only sexually attracted based on personality. Like, physicality really has basically nothing to do with it. But at the same time, and I don't know if this is like, maybe I am demisexual or if I'm just highly distrustful. But for me, it's like, and I think we've discussed this before, like the concept of like having sex on the first date is not a slut shaming thing. It's just like, I don't want an STD and I don't want to get murdered. And like, maybe I'm just paranoid, but it's like, it's also going to take more than like one night of drinks for me to like want to sleep with someone. Cause it's like, I don't know. Like, I need to see your STD reports and like, I need to like, I don't know, maybe have you meet one friend to make sure you're not a psychopath. Like, I don't know, am I crazy? Am I demisexual?
I think you're demisexual because I've had sex on the first date. And I mean, is it the smartest choice? No. If I had been thinking about it rationally, would I have done it? Also, no. Sometimes. Sometimes people are pretty and your hormones get the best of you and you make poor choices.
See, I can understand that. Like, I feel like, but I feel like I can be like attracted to people in a short period of time, but I think my logical side is just like, it's not worth it. Like, the bone ain't worth the STDs or the possible axe murdering. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
No, I think you're just demisexual, which I think a lot of people are demisexual and don't realize it, but I am not demisexual, because I will fuck on the first date. Not every time, but definitely sometimes it has happened.
I don't know. Where,
when I met my first boyfriend coming out of college, I met him, and it wasn't even a date. I met him at a party, and within, like, 5 hours of meeting him, he was back at my place and we had sex. So, didn't mean a lot.
I don't know. And again, I'm fairly inexperienced, so maybe there will be, you know, cases where I'll meet somebody and be like, yeah, you check out. But I don't know. Just the logical part of me.
No, it's not logical.
The like, woman raised in a patriarchy is like, that's a good way to die, yeah, fam.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. I'm not saying those were smart decisions that I made when I fucked men very shortly after meeting them. And if I could go back, I don't think I would necessarily do them again. But in the moment, when you're feeling it, I mean, it feels like there's no choice. Like, when I met him, I was like, this man is going to be inside of me soon. Like, it just, the hormones go crazy, and you're just so attracted to them, and you just, it feels like there's no other option, and this is the only move.
We have very different bodies.
We do. We really do. I mean, you are demisexual, and I am firmly not demisexual. When you're feeling it, everybody else get out the way. It's not necessarily a good thing. I think being demisexual is probably better. You probably make healthier, more well-thought-out choices. Whereas I have been reckless in my life.
It could also just be related to Myers-Briggs. Of just like introversion and J planning side of being a very non-impulsive person. Yeah. So
I heard you on the phone earlier saying you were a P. I thought you were a J.
I didn't. No. What? When?
On your phone call today when you were talking about personality types with the girl you were interviewing, you said something about, you're like, oh, I'm slightly a P. And I was like, what?
That was yesterday. And I think I said I'm slightly an E.
Because I thought you were INFJ.
I am, but like I'm 51% I.
Okay.
So it's like fairly close. I am not P, okay. For sure.
I thought I heard you say you were P and I was like, what?
No. This post is basically how they went to a swingers club and they had a good time.
Yay.
I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like in those kinds of things, at least what I've read, that like those kinds of things, they're very rigorous about like testing and stuff, so it is just a very safe place to be able to play. So that sounds nice. Yeah. If there's one where in the city where we moved to, we could
guarantee
check it out.
There will be one in the city we're moving to. I absolutely guarantee there will be. It's a very liberal place. I'd be more surprised if there wasn't one.
There's usually a lot of more, and maybe it's the really long ones I skipped over, but there's usually a lot of like fairly controversial ones that get a lot of comments, but these are all just kind of sweet and wholesome. Does anyone else wish Facebook had in a poly relationship with as a relationship status option. It sounds stupid probably, but I was thinking about it earlier and wanted to ask others.
I don't bother with Facebook relationship statuses anyway, so I don't... Here's the thing. Even when I've been in relationships, I haven't wanted that to be the primary thing people know about me. So, like, I don't really care to post my relationship status on the internet because I don't want that to be a thing that matters to people.
Yeah. I'm kind of conflicted because I do like the efficacy of posting things, because I don't like having all those one-on-one conversations, as I've talked about before. I don't like telling people things about myself, and I'm very bad about it, so I like the posting. Just lets you do a one-and-done, and then everybody knows.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also agree where it's just, like, it's not really any of your business, and, like, I don't particularly care to tell you, and, like... I don't know. I think mine is more of just like, I don't want to deal with people asking me about, like, even in the comment section being like, what, Jen? Like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with your Facebook comments. Like, my life is not for you to comment on.
Talk about abortion. Are we going to talk about abortion?
No, I think we've talked about it. Subjects. And, like, I have it marked off in episode 10.
Okay.
So hypothetically, we talked about it then. But I mean... I don't know. I'm pro-choice.
I'm also pro-choice.
Like, I can talk about
actually,
it.
Actually, oh, you know what? We did talk about it in episode 10, because I remember I said I could never tell Mom if I got an abortion, because she was pro-life. And actually, I had a conversation with Mom, and she is not pro-life. She is now pro-choice. I don't know if we convinced her or if somebody else convinced
her. I think our mother was either... Okay, I've said this theory before. I think our parents are a lot more progressive... Like, they were raised a lot more conservatively than they are, and they just never questioned it.
Yeah.
But I think just living in this new era, like, they're being confronted with a lot of things, and, like, a lot of people are like, oh, no, and they're just kind of like, yeah, sure, maybe they're just really chill. I don't know. Really chill, but, like, people. I also have, like, been like, oh, I don't know if I should tell Mom this, and then, like, I do, and she's, like, super chill about it, and it's like, we have a really chill mom. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess we tell less things to Dad, but, like, we have a super chill mom.
Super chill mom. Yeah, no.
Which we are grateful for. We love you, Mom.
I just told Mom the other week if she wanted to join our polyamorous commune someday, she's welcome to. She likes to come and just clean things in my apartment randomly, which is great.
Okay, well, yes, because you have such a high tolerance for not cleanness. Like, when we live in our apartment... I'm going to clean a lot more frequently than you have.
Okay.
Like, that is just a given.
Anyway, back on the original subject. So, Mother used to, at least when I was in college, be very pro-life, because she told me several times, like, if you ever get pregnant, like, we will take the baby, we will raise it as our own, like, do not...
Maybe she's just tired, because she has talked about...
That's true, maybe she doesn't want to raise kids anymore.
One of our aunts has little kids, and Mom is the godparent for them, and she keeps saying, like, I am praying for her health, because I cannot take those children. And so she might just, like, again, either they're just chill, or they're just really tired. They're too tired to, like, fight the oncoming waves. They're just like, yeah, let it happen.
We're too tired. We're done. No, but anyway, in college, Mom was very adamant that, like, do not murder my grandchild. If you ever get pregnant, there will be no abortions. And I was like, cool, I just won't tell Mom. Sick. Because I'm not having a baby. Thankfully, I am very fortunate to have never had to make that decision, but there have been times where I've had scares, and let me tell you, I would have. Like, I can tell you, I'm pretty confident I would have gotten an abortion if I had been pregnant.
I've also, like, had this conversation with friends, and they're like, oh, what would you do? And they're like, oh, well, I just didn't know, or maybe I'd keep it. And I'd be like, I am not having a child. Like, I am not. I'm sorry.
I used to be of the opinion that I was like, I've always been pro-choice for sure, because I've always been like, not my place to make decisions for other people. Because I don't know when life begins, so it's not my call. But I used to be of the persuasion that I was like, I'm pro-choice for other people, but I personally would never get it, because, like, it might be life, and I wouldn't want to... And then I had a condom break with a boyfriend, and I think I took Plan B, but I went to the doctor anyway, just in case, because I was freaking out. And my doctor was like, oh, well, if you catch it within, like, 8 weeks or something, you could just take a pill and get a really heavy period, and then it's over. And I was like, fuck yeah, sign me the fuck up for that. I will absolutely, please. I was not pregnant, but if I had been, I absolutely would have taken the abortion pill.
I think, again, I don't know, like, you know, I'm sure I have lots of thoughts on the ethics, and I've probably discussed them at length, but, like, it's probably just me being like, my mother had terrible pregnancies, I am the hormonal copy of my mother, so I am not having, I am not getting pregnant, if ever, until I am very certain of it, and it's just, like, I like, maybe, like, I just, I like my body how it is. I don't like physical discomfort. I was talking with my partner about how much I dislike physical discomfort. It's possibly related to me being a highly sensitive person, but it's just like the visceral negative reaction I have to that. Just like, I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I could never.
Anyway, on my original point that we will eventually get to. So mother used to be pro-life when I was in college, but she was visiting, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or something, and I was talking about, oh, I remember what happened. I posted on my Instagram story that abortion is not murder, because even if a fetus is alive, bodily autonomy states that you are not required to use your body to help anyone else maintain their life in any circumstance. So you are not required to give someone CPR if you come along someone in crisis. You are not required to donate your organs even when you die. You are not required to donate blood even if you are fully capable of doing so. You are not required ever to use your physical body to help someone else maintain their life. So even if fetuses are alive, you are not required to use your body to help that fetus maintain.
I was
going to
say, that's
life.
Very much a parasitic, like,
So that's the thing. Like, the question, when all these people are, like, debating whether a fetus is alive, it doesn't matter. Even if a fetus is alive, bodily autonomy states you are not required to use your body to help that life maintain its life.
This is unrelated,
so,
but
I'm never going to get to my story.
Okay, you go. I'm looking up something. You
okay.
go.
Okay, so I posted this on my Instagram story, and 4 minutes later, mom called me, and I was like, hi, mom, how did I know you were going to call me? And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, I called you because something car-related, I think, like totally unrelated. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And then she goes, why did you think I was calling you? And I was like, no reason. She was like, why did you think I was calling you? And I was like, well, I might have just posted something on my Instagram story about abortion that I figured would upset you. And she was like, oh, I haven't seen it. She went and read it. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, no, I'm pro-choice. And I was like, when did that happen? You told me I wasn't allowed to murder your grandchild less than a few years ago. And she was like, no. She's like, I don't know if it's life. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But like, even if it is, like, it's a woman's choice. And I was like, all right, mom, cool.
Yeah. Speaking of Instagram stories, I found something that just like made me laugh so hard I wanted to post it on my Instagram story, but I didn't want to deal with the comments. But anyway, it reads, it's a screenshot of a tweet, and the account is God at the tweet of God, and it says in quotes, God doesn't want us to wear masks. Wrong, assholes. Leviticus 13:45-46, New International Version. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone, they must live outside the camp. And it's just like, I'm also just so radically anti-religion. Like, why the fuck do you care what old texts say? It's a book. Like, what authority does it have over you? I just don't get it. Like, I understand it can be used for good, but at the same time, even if it is, it's like, why are you listening to an old book? You don't know who wrote it.
I think I shared this with you already, but I want to read it. But as somebody shared that my favorite Bible story is when instead of telling women to dress modestly, Jesus tells his dudes to avoid lust by just plucking their eyes out. And when I read that, I knew what verse they were referring to when she said it, because there is the verse about, like, if your eyes cause you to sin, tear them out, because it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven blind than to not enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. And so I was like, I never thought about it framed that way, that it literally was Jesus being like, oh, you're looking at women? Pluck your eyes out. Yeah. Like, the women don't need to change. You need to fucking stop looking, my dude. Like, literally, it's what, Matthew 18:9, if you want to go read it. And it's literally, like,
I understand Jesus said good stuff, but, like, people who, like, use the Bible to, like, say dumb shit just make me so mad.
Yeah. I also, in a verse earlier than that, he says anybody who fucks with kids would be better off with a millstone tied around their neck and drowned, which is hilarious, because so many so many people paint Jesus as this like very peaceful, very calm, very just like lovey-dovey.
No,
dude.
He went into that one temple and
he
like
fucking
flipped tables.
Radical. Like Jesus was like
he was a
not,
communist hippie. Like
he was not this peace lovey-dovey dude. He, you think he was?
If he was alive right now, you think he would be a Republican owning a gun?
No.
You think Jesus would like? What would Jesus do? He would not.
Jesus
do that.
Was like bros with prostitutes.
He would be
like,
living with us in our polyamory commune.
He really would be doing that.
Like, you really think Jesus is on your side?
He's not, though. Have you read? Also, people who were like, you can't cherry pick the Bible. The Bible is literally cherry picked, my
so,
love. Like there
I'm
were
sorry.
There were conventions
religious
where they
are,
picked which text to go
I
in
just
the Bible.
Love, but the thing
the
is,
whole thing is cherry picked.
The thing is, I just love people who are like, but it says it says it in the Bible. It's like, cool. What the fuck does that matter? Like,
who
I could
cares?
Like, you want me to pull up like Hamilton's love letters, and it says here that Hamilton wanted to fuck Lawrence. Therefore, all like. Gays are okay. Like, why the fuck does it? Oh, I'm sorry. It makes me angry. If you are Christian and you're a good person, good for you. I just think there's a lot of people who aren't.
Wait, Hamilton wanted to fuck Lawrence? What is this?
I don't know how truly accurate that is, but like, there's a lot of conspiracies, like reading his letters to Lawrence where he like invited him to like sleep with them on their wedding night and like talked about how much he loved him. And it's like, that's the story I choose to believe. So
I will, that's the narrative.
So
I
that's the reality
life.
I choose to live in. I do not consent to live in a reality where that's not the case. So that's all I'm saying.
Oh, there was a meme I saw today about conspiracy theories, and I want to see if I can find it. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to, but it was fucking hilarious. Oh, what was it? Shoot. Oh, I remember what it was. It was, somebody was like, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And somebody else was like, Disney changed the name of the Ice Princess to Frozen so that when people Google Disney Frozen, that movie would come up instead of the pictures of Disney's cryogenically frozen head. And the next person was like, I believe in one conspiracy theory.
That unrelated and less funny reminds me of a meme that I saw where it's like Disney pitched like the original working titles of films and then their final things, and it was like Rapunzel turned into Tangled, the Snow Queen turned into Frozen, and like the Bear and the Bow turned into Brave. And then the comment under it was like, Disney, how do we improve these movies? Response: adjectives.
One word, adjectives.
Adjectives. So I unpacked my adjectives. Adjectives. Those songs still slap. I don't know if it's just because we grew
honestly,
up with them, but like they're good songs.
They're good songs.
And like
Schoolhouse Rock,
how
is
else?
Fucking classic.
Like I don't like grammar like at all, but like.
Mr.
Horton
is
with that.
The sentence, and what the predicate says, they do.
Like, I'm still not sure I could describe to you what a predicate is, but that slaps.
Conjunction, what's your function? I got and, but, and, or, they'll get you pretty far.
Okay. Interplanet Janet, she's a galaxy girl. A solar system is from a future world. She travels like a rocket with a comet team. And there's never been a planet Janet hasn't seen.
Interplanet Janet, she's a galaxy girl. I was in that musical twice.
I was not. Good times. What did you say? Oh god, you said last night you were like, oh, we were talking about media and how like there we're in the stage where like media is like trying to be progressive, which I've probably already talked about, but it's like they make media and it's progressive, but it's like objectively bad media, but like
at least
it's progressive.
At least
and you said something, you were like, well, yeah, but like all
oh
they,
yeah
you were like all they did was like make it gay and like everybody's on board with that. And
so,
I was like, who the fuck? Like, what world? Like, I want to come there where you're living, but like, that's not the world we live in.
What I said was, for me, just saying you're pro LGBTQ does not mean you're radical. Like, that is the bare fucking minimum.
I don't know if that's exactly what you said, but something along those lines. And I was like, Elizabeth, I know we live in a bubble.
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think it is all that radical to come out and say you're pro LGBTQ anymore. I do think there are people who are not. I agree there are people who are still against gay people, but not a ton. And
Elizabeth, it has been less than a decade that gay marriage was legalized in this country.
I know, but I don't find it, like, when people come out and they're like, I'm pro-gay. I'm like, cool, so are the rest of us. Join the club. Like, it's not that radical for me anymore. I'm like, that's the bare minimum. I'm not impressed. I'm not going to pat you on the back because you came out and said you're not homophobic. Cool.
I agree. But I think what you said was everybody is already pro LGBTQ, and that's just false. I just want you to accept that's false.
It is, I agree, that's false. I don't think I said that.
I feel like you did.
I know there are homophobic people in the world, but like, not in my world. I
know.
If you're homophobic, you're out.
I know. This is what I'm saying. I know that we are in our TikTok polyqueer bubbles, but like, when you pop your head out, it's not so
don't
pretty.
Pop your head out. Easy solution.
Okay.
Never leave the bubble. I don't know. I know there are still homophobic people out there. I mean, we're not out with the majority of our extended family, so like, I know.
Yeah.
But my bigger thing is like, when they make these movies that like, we're being so progressive because we're not homophobic, I'm like, that's not progressive. That's the bare minimum. Thanks.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. We're in this stage where like, it's tokenism, and eventually we'll get good media that is actually written by queer people and not just straight people being like, we have to make queer stuff because
what do the gays do?
Because that's what's trending.
Do the women wear suits? We'll give all the women bow ties and it'll work.
Yeah.
Not all lesbians wear bow ties.
What?
I feel like that's always the trope. It's like whenever there's a lesbian in the movie, they're like, we'll give her a bow tie, and then she's a lesbian, and I'm like,
we just watched a movie with a queer woman and she did not wear a bow tie. Is someone great?
Oh, yeah.
The trope of all lesbians wearing bow ties. What?
I feel like that's a really common thing in movies. Is they'll give the lesbians bow ties.
I'm pretty sure
that's a thing that happens fairly often. But you're right. In the movie we just watched,
lesbian bow tie.
Actually, I do think one of her outfits had a bow tie. Hold on, I actually do think in one of the scenes the lesbian did wear a bow tie. I'm gonna look this up. I think she had a bolo tie at some point.
The contrasting counterpart to the lipstick lesbian, the butch lesbian, is typically clad in heavy boots, jeans, plain t-shirts, and other conventionally unfeminine attire.
I know I've seen that several times.
Bow ties.
Where there's been a woman in a bow tie, and they're like, this is the lesbian. See, she has a bow tie. She's the lesbian. And I'm like, really? Really? That's what we're doing? All right.
Thanks for listening.
If you enjoyed this, leave us a review.
Or share it with a friend. Or your polycule.
And stay in touch on social media @HarmlessHarlots.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.